This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you would like more information about Christian Chapel, please visit christianchapel.com.
Good morning. It's good to see you. If you're a guest with us, my name is Chris. I'm the pastor here, and we are excited that you joined us on the first Sunday of the year. 2 days after New Year's Day. I don't know how that hits you every year. For me, I don't think I noticed it till maybe last year and this year, but I've made no secret in my 10 years here, I'm not particularly a math person, and I can show you the 17 I got on the math portion of my ACT as proof. Some of you are like, you are so dumb. I know, and yet God still lets us do stuff, so, and gives us wives. I have one, but the one I have is good at math, and that's good too, and surrounds me at church with people like Greg and board members who are also good at math, so no worries there. We're in the black. But one of the things I've noticed, I think God kind of to mess with me, allowed me to be born in 1982, which meant I graduated high school in 2000. Which I thought was really cool at the time, like class of 2000, nobody else like me. The bad thing is, even for somebody who's really bad at math, January 1st of every year is a distinct reminder of just how long it's been since high school graduation. And this year, it was that realization of like, oh, the kids who start driving this year were born when I was 18. And then in 2 years, the graduating class are the ones who were born my senior year of high school. And, then in 3 years, the graduating class, it represents this time in my life where I will have been out of high school longer than I was in school in that age. And so I don't know, it's just a little unsettling for me. And I know when I say that, even there are some in the room who are like, you graduated in 2000, you are such a baby. Like, I never thought 2000 would come, right? And then others of you are like, 2000, you are so old. I was born in like 03. I am curious, so how many of you were born after 2000? Anybody? No? Tate, what year were you born? Okay, try this again. How many of you were born 2000 or after? Some of you there, Christy? Yeah, Ash? Okay, very good. All right, good. Good. So there's a few of you that make me feel old every year. But that was an unexpected New Year's Day surprise this year. Of like, hey, surprise, every year you're going to feel old. But the other more positive side of New Year's Day is it's kind of a fresh start, right? It's a natural time when you're a kid growing up. I think the beginning of the school year is that time. It's kind of the fresh start to every year. But as you get older, January 1st kind of becomes that day these are the things I'm going to start doing this year. These are the things I'm going to stop doing this year. And we make those resolutions and we want to be better people. So I don't know what your resolutions were to stop. Maybe you were going to stop eating so poorly. Maybe you were going to stop. Like, we should all probably make a resolution to stop cheering for college football teams that perform so poorly in bowl games. Right? Just our lives would be easier. And except for if you're Alabama fans, Karen, I don't know how you can walk in here today even. We're going to talk about praying for the loss. That's your coach. That's not here or there. Sorry. You get on the front row one day, and gosh, it just, you're right. You're right back to the back. So you make resolutions, right? I'm going to stop doing certain things. I'm going to start. Maybe one of your resolutions to start for 2016 was to start coming to church more, to start being involved in a community. If so, that's great. Maybe you're going to start being in a home group. So tonight's a good opportunity for you to plug into some of that. But the first of the year just gives us this wonderful opportunity to kind of reflect on where have we been? Who are we? Who do we want to be in the coming year? And kind of what changes are we going to make to get there? And at Christian Chapel, one of the things we do every January to kind of, in addition to the other personal resolutions you're making, is to always make an emphasis each January on our role as a church in taking the gospel to the whole world. So in a way, our missions month every January is kind of a reminder that we as a church together are resolving to be part of what God is doing, not just here in our local community, but all around the world. And it's kind of rooted in this idea that if we really believe in the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, and if we've received it personally, then we should be willing to not just share it with people around us, but to share it with especially people who've never had the opportunity to hear it. You know, and I think when you look at your own life, you can see that really the things you care about in life, you typically talk about, right? If you are, like I saw this little meme the other day, and it said a gluten-free person, a vegan, and a CrossFitter all walked into a bar. I knew this because they told everyone within the first 2 minutes of being there. Right? And you've got those people in your life that they just, maybe they're a marathoner, maybe they're a paleo person, but there's just certain things that it seems like that's what they lead with, you know, like here's what it is and here's what, and any time in life that we discover things that are good for us or good to us, a someone or a something, we talk about it. And we talk about it often, and we talk about it naturally, and we talk about it joyfully. If you've got a great spouse, that's probably something that comes up in conversation. If you've got kids, you talk about it. If you, 2016 is going to be a presidential election, so that's going to be a topic of conversation because it's something that we care about. It's something that we think is important. And so all of these things in life that we really care about and that are really personal to us, and especially the good things, we enjoy talking about them. And so I think it's important for us to remember that as we start kind of this look at what we can do to support missions, as we start to explore what it means if Jesus changes everything for me, then how do I share that with everyone everywhere? You know, earlier Amy led us in the Apostles' Creed, and we do that about once a month together. And one of the reasons we do it is we feel like it's a wonderful reminder to us of these are the things we believe. This is, in essence, the good news, that we are made by God, that God loves us, that God has a plan for us, that even though we messed up that plan with our sin, he sends Jesus to restore us, to bring us back into a relationship with him. And no matter how many times we refuse that, no matter how many times we turn against it, by the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we believe God just gives us chance after chance after chance after chance to enter into his kingdom and be part of his family. And so when we say the Apostles' Creed, it's an exercise for us as a community of talking about the things that we care about, of talking, of saying, of verbalizing together, this is what we believe, but we don't just believe it in kind of this grand historic sense, but we believe it in a very personal sense. I believe in God, my Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Like these are powerful things as they become personal to us. You know, during Advent, we explored this idea of Jesus changes everything. And we talked about how the arrival of Christ in our world changes our experience in every season of life, through the ups and downs, through all the in-betweens, in every moment, because Jesus has come, he continues to come to us, and one day he will come and restore all things. And so we heard from people in our church, and their story again and again was, as the power of Christ became personal to me, as I surrendered to Jesus, it really did change everything. It changed every moment of life for me. And so what I want to make sure we do here today is I want to make sure that as we launch into an emphasis on missions, as we start to explore, just the different opportunities we have, even in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Dax Fears, one of our missionaries that we support. But before we get into any of that, I want to make sure we're all kind of standing, facing the same direction, on the same ground with this idea of before God will ever call us to go anywhere, to do anything, to give to anything, he calls us to himself. Like, he's going to call you to know him. And so this month, we're going to present you with all kinds of opportunities. We're going to be challenged by the stories of some of our missionaries to fulfill the Great Commission, to go to places that are difficult, that are dark, where people don't know Jesus. We're going to have opportunities every single week to give and to invest our finances in missionaries who are working all around the world. We're going to present you with opportunities to go and be part of some short-term missions trips in different parts of the world in 2016. We're going to present you with, there's going to be a week in January that we highlight Royal Family Kids Camp and invite you to think about serving with us, giving a week to foster kids. There's going to be a week where we highlight crisis pregnancy outreach and again invite you to give and to think about serving to help women and babies in our community who are affected by crisis pregnancies. But before we do any of that at all, I think it's so important for us to remember we do all of that because we've received God's love and approval. not in an effort to earn God's love and approval. You know, the downside to taking kind of a New Year's resolution approach to faith is sometimes we can turn our faith into this little checklist of like, well, if I do 1, 2, 3, and 4, then God's going to be happier with me. He's going to be more pleased with me. He's going to bless me more. And that's not at all the approach we want to take this month. This month, we are coming from the understanding that personal transformation is always first. That as we are personally transformed by the power of the gospel, it will then lead to community transformation. It will begin to transform our families, our circles of influence, our workplaces, our schools, our city, our state, our nation, and eventually kind of globally around the world in all these different communities, that as individuals are personally transformed by Jesus, we will begin to see the kind of global community transformation that the scriptures talk about. In Matthew chapter 28, it's right before Jesus ascends to heaven. So he's been with the disciples for several years. He's taught them. They've witnessed his miracles. They have been there for his crucifixion, for his death, and his resurrection. And then he has appeared to them several times over the span of 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. And the very last thing he tells them is what we call the Great Commission. We read it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So I think even in the Great Commission, we see this idea that Jesus calls us to himself before he calls us to go and tell others about him, right? The disciples received the Great Commission as kind of the culmination of their time with Jesus. After they've understood that he's the Son of God, after they've acknowledged that he's the Messiah, after they've surrendered to him as Lord, after they have just had all of this confirmation in life, then Jesus tells them, "Now go. Now go tell other people. Now go give your lives. Now leave your homes. Now turn your backs. Now go and tell others the good news that you've discovered." And I think it's, again, important for us to remember that idea that before we go, we have to know him. We have to surrender to him. We have to be transformed by him. But once we have received that personal transformation, there then is the clear command of Scripture, "Now go." And it starts in our smallest circles of influence. You know, so our approach to missions is twofold. It's we want to be part of what Christ is doing in our local community, and we want to be part of what Christ is doing in our global community. We never want to be a church that says, "Well, God has placed us here, so we're just going to worry about these people." On the other hand, we don't want to be a church who says, "Well, everything here is good. You know, we're Tulsa. It's about as Christian as you can get. So we'll focus on the other parts of the world and worry about those." But we want to be a blend. And what we really think is that as we invest in seeing lives changed here, it will fuel our desire to see lives change in other places. That as we see the transformation Jesus brings to our families, to our friends, to our workplaces, our schools, to our community, it will then inspire us to continue to give others an opportunity to experience that same kind of transformation. You know, at the end of 2015, we saw a really cool expression of this desire to see Jesus made famous here locally. I mean, just starting even here within our walls as a church. At the end of last year, the board and staff and I were discussing and praying about what God would have us to do for kind of a year-end giving project. It's something we do every year at Christian Chapel to give people an opportunity to give to some very specific things at the end of the year. And so this year we felt like the thing God led us to was a renovation of our nursery. You know, we've done the kids wing, we've done the youth center, we built the impact center. All of this has happened over the past 5 or 6 years, and it's really great, really wonderful, but it was time for the nursery. And the reason for that was not just that we wanted to make the building look nice, but it was that we really do think, you know, one of our core values is investing in the next generation. And part of that means making it easy for young families to come, to feel comfortable, to feel safe, and for their children to be an environment that they enjoy. And so from their very earliest memories, we want to provide space for them to know that God loves them, to know that God has a plan for them, to know about Jesus. And so they're back there and they're learning those things. And we just felt like it was time to make that facility kind of match that value. So we presented that to you, I think it was the second Sunday in December, and we had got some bids on that process, that project, and it was going to be between $50,000 and $70,000 to kind of just rip everything out. And, you know, it's one of those, I mean, I'm sure many of you know, you've been down that road before, but it's like, really? That much? I mean, I can knock that wall down. Would that save us anything? But it wouldn't, actually, if I did it. So we're getting this bid, and the board and I were talking about it, and we said, well, okay, let's present it as a $50,000 project, and then if it goes over, we'll cover that out of the general fund and just trust God that this will happen. So we presented it in December. There wasn't a whole lot of arm twisting, manipulation. We did the maybe a little bit, because we did the little kid video saying the Lord's Prayer. That was pretty adorable. Like, I think we might owe Luke and Leslie some college tuition because they did so well. Jake's like, yes, you do. But 3 weeks, just presented it. Here it is. Here's why we do it. Give as you feel the Lord leads you. And the response was just so amazing. And in just barely over 3 weeks, we had $65,000 that was given for that. Definitely. It was amazing. And the thing that, that I was sitting there thinking about this weekend is just how does that happen? And then the underlying question is, why does that happen? Like, why do so many people give so extravagantly and so generously and for some so sacrificially at the end of the year? You know, and I get the, for some it's a good time to give and tax and all that kind of stuff. I get that. I mean, not personally, I don't get that, but I've heard some people have that problem. But for others of us, like, that, it's a Christmas, that's a sacrificial time to give. Like, money can already be tied, and that's a big decision to give to something like that. And the thing I come back to again and again is that it comes from a deep and sincere belief that this is true, that Jesus changes everything, and a sincere belief that the greatest gift we can give to a child is to provide them, to surround them with the truth of Christ from their very earliest memories. And so we saw so many give so generously and so faithfully to that project, and I think it's a good example for us of we give because our lives have been changed. We're not giving to try to earn God's favor. We're not giving to try to get our name on something, but we're just saying, hey, Jesus has changed my life. I really do believe this is the absolute best thing I've ever discovered in my life, and I'm going to do everything I can to surrender that to the Lord and to make sure that other people get a chance. And when we come to God and we say, what can I do? Sometimes he presents us with opportunities like that. But it's not just in our own programs. You know, at Christian Chapel, we want to be part of what God's doing in our community, and especially for some of the overlooked segments of our community. And so that's why for 17 years now, we've done Royal Family Kids Camp. It's a free week of camp for kids in foster care. And we always want to hit that during our missions month because we really do believe this is part of our missions emphasis as a church. It takes about 100 adult volunteers to make that happen. It takes about $50,000 to $60,000 to make that happen each year. And what we see is just people continuing to give, people continuing to serve, people continuing to go. And so in a couple weeks, we're going to have a Royal Family Sunday. We're going to highlight that ministry. We've got an opportunity this year to expand that ministry and to begin a more of a kind of big brothers, big sisters kind of mentoring program where we're going to be able to keep in touch with those kids every, twice a month after camp. And so it's just really exciting. I hope you'll be part of that and consider that with us. We'll have one of our Sundays this month. We'll have Crisis Pregnancy Outreach Sunday. They, for 30 years, they've been providing care to women and babies experiencing crisis pregnancies and just providing hope. And again, pointing them towards this idea, Jesus changes everything. Like, no matter where you are, no matter how dark, and some of those poor girls, they come to us in such difficult circumstances. But we go to them, we provide care, we provide assistance because we believe this. We believe Jesus changes everything for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. And so we'll give and we'll serve, and we do that not trying to earn God's approval, but because we've personally discovered it ourselves. Of this is the greatest thing in the world, why wouldn't I want to share it with other people? But again, we don't want to stop there on just those local expressions. We also want to be part of what God is doing globally. over the past few years, we've made an increased effort to partner with missionaries who are taking the gospel to unreached people. People who've never heard about Jesus, people who live in nations and in cultures in which there is no indigenous church that's there to share the gospel with them. And so we've been part of sending people to Turkey and to different parts of India and Nepal and Egypt and other areas in the Middle East and Far East that are difficult and that are hard. But we are able on a monthly basis through our Faith Promise Giving to partner with over 50 missionaries working in, I think, about 45 nations around the world. And each month through that giving, we're able just to join with them. And it's, again, kind of a tangible expression of the transformation we've found in Christ. That because he's changed me here, I want to make sure everyone there in places I'll never go, people I'll never see, get the same opportunities I do. And so this year in March at our annual business meeting, we've seen the final numbers, but I assume we're on track this year, as we have been for really all 40 years, to give away about 20%, between 20 and 30% of our annual income to support missions locally and around the world. And again, we don't do that for a pat on the back, but we do it because we just think Jesus changes everything. And because of that, we want to give and we want to go. And so each Sunday this month, we're going to have an opportunity to hear from different missionaries that we support. Some of them are going to speak for 30 or 40 minutes. Others are just going to check in for 4 or 5 minutes in a service. But one of the things I've asked each one of them to do is, as you come and share, don't jump right into this is where I serve and this is what I do and these are the stories. But instead, back up a little bit in your faith journey and tell us your story of personal transformation. Like, tell us the story about when you first encountered Christ. Because I think sometimes when missionaries come in, their lives can sound so extreme at times that it's just like you wind up feeling like, man, they are just a better Christian than me, right? I mean, maybe not, maybe you don't, but I do. And I go to lunch with them afterwards and just think, I should give you my money because you will use it so much better than I will. You know, they tell me about how early they get up to pray, and it's like 4:30 comes twice a day? Really? What do you pray about for 2 hours? How do you not fall asleep? Like, these are the super spiritual questions that come to mind while they're, but sometimes we can see them, it's just like super spiritual, like they're the all-star team of Christians and the rest of us are just kind of muddling along in life, you know? But my experience, because I get to know them and go to lunch with them and hear their stories, is every single time, no matter what they're doing, no matter how extreme their life may sound, no matter how extravagant their sacrifices might have been, when you trace their story back, it starts with a personal encounter with Christ. It starts with a revelation of who he is. It begins with understanding, before God called me to go, he called me to himself. He called me in as his son. He called me in, and they have stories of healing and reconciliation and salvation. And then out of those personal stories of transformation, they're willing to say, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. God, what do you want me to do? And in his sovereignty, God has directed them to different people in different places and across cultures and languages. And they've seen those personal stories of transformation continue to take place. And so I'm really excited for us this morning. We're going to start this process together this month by hearing from one of our own. Dax Fears is the son of Doug and Jill Fears. Dax grew up here at Christian Chapel, grew up in Tulsa. He's a Jinx High School graduate. He was in Remnant, you know, all through junior high and high school. He was here for Vacation Bible School and probably for a kid's play at some point. He was up there with his hands in his pockets, not singing. He's as one of us as you can be. And Dax, after he graduated high school, he went down to Baylor University. That's where he really had some powerful encounters with God. It's where he met his wife. They married after graduation. And then for the past five years, they've been serving with an organization called Youth with a Mission, which is a really big mission sending organization. They've served in a lot of different roles, had a lot of opportunities to share the gospel in many different nations across many different cultures, and seen God do some really amazing things. But Dax is going to come this morning and just kind of tell us some of his story of encountering Christ and then the things that has led him to do. So Dax, if you want to come.
Thank you. I actually still remember the go, go, Jonah, go, go, Jonah. Do you guys remember that? The Jonah play? Yeah. But I was telling the last service, it always feels wild being up here because I was born and raised in this church. I love this church and have some amazing memories. And we were talking about how my family and I, we sat in a row in this section in the back for about 10 years straight, same seats. And I couldn't remember where we sat before that, but as a teenager, I came and sat over here, and I've learned that it's still kind of the same. I sat with my friends, but now I'm married to an amazing wife. Rachel is. Thank you guys for praying that in, because it definitely was a miracle. And she wasn't able to come on this trip. We have arrival day for students starting on Thursday, so she's back in Kona doing the work. And so I felt bad coming to see my nieces and nephew without her. But anyways, like Chris said, we've been working with YWAM for 5 years now. And but before YWAM and before getting married, I had a season of my life that I wanted to share with you guys. And really is a story that I love to share with young adults. But it really is a story as well that I would love to share with parents as well, because it's such an encouragement to parents. Because my parents are some of the most Christ-like people I know. And they did an absolutely amazing job raising me. But I definitely gave them a pretty hard time. And I hit a point in high school where I completely stopped pursuing any relationship with God. I had a non-existent prayer life. I really didn't pray at all, unless I really needed something, maybe. And I never picked up my Bible. And I just started acting purely out of my flesh, out of my fleshly desires. And it was just yielding fruit of shame and condemnation. And it was kind of a cycle. I got into partying. I drank a lot. I would binge drink whenever I'd party. And it wasn't from out of like depression. It was more out of I was bored with life. I wasn't that good at school, so I wasn't really trying. I valued basketball a lot, but I saw where that wasn't going to go anywhere after high school. So I, you know, that didn't help my self-respect. And I started to see my self-worth and how I saw myself diminish. And without fully understanding it, until later on, I was agreeing with the lie that I didn't have a call in my life. I was agreeing that my life was going to amount to nothing. And it just caught me up in this cycle of partying and drinking. This went on for a while. In my senior year of college at Baylor, I learned about a study abroad program in South Africa where I was going to be able to finish my college credits in South Africa. And I was excited because it was in South Africa during the FIFA World Cup. And my parents were excited because it was with a Christian organization. So I get there, and the other interns with me were these rad Christian guys that started just talking to me about the love of the Father. And their perspective and how they were explaining it to me, my brain started just to click with how they were explaining it, the love of the Father. And I don't know if it was away from kind of the normal crowd or the time just away with the new friends, but I started to just dig into the Word of God. Started to read books on what being a child of God really meant. And I cannot explain enough, guys, how my worldview started to completely shift. How when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, and you start saying, God does have a call on my life, all the shame and condemnation that took place during those years, they were radically broken off. I started to think about it, and I thought the difference between condemnation and conviction is condemnation, you identify yourself with your sin. I drank, so I was a drunk. I lied, so I was a liar. But I started to see it as God has a calling on my life, and I'm wasting time with all those sins. I'm wasting my time through that. And I started to see that no longer was I a slave to sin, but I was a child of God, right? And from that, I started to see others through the same lens. And it's just amazing because through that, you can't hate yourself and you can't hate others when you're seeing them through the lens of how God created them to be, right? It's impossible. You actually do the opposite. You call out the destiny in your life and you speak truth to them. So I came back from that trip excited to marry Rachel. I was just ready to go. I saw Rachel through a different lens as well. And I also was plagued with an issue, probably plaguing a mass majority of young adults and men today, is passivity. And I've seen more breakthrough in the last few years of young men, especially breaking off passivity. And it's, that's a whole nother sermon. But So I came back, Rachel and I got married, went into YWAM, into the Discipleship Training School, or DTS, and we loved the word discipleship. We just were excited to learn more. We were like a sponge, and we showed up really expectant, and we got rocked. In 2011, we helped pioneer a ministry called Justice Water, and Justice Water trained short-term missionaries to go and bring water projects through community development, and we also were sending out long-term teams. We sent long-term teams out to 4 different locations, and during that time, we learned that we were doing something a little wrong. We didn't have member care, which was a term I know now, but back in the day, I had never heard of it, and which it just means taking care of your missionaries. Our missionaries were coming back. We weren't really keeping up with them. It was basically we were sending them out and just saying, hey, bless you guys. And I, the more research I did, the more I learned that YWAM, this is something that we could get better at. And so Rachel and I started to build a staff team and put together a school called Apostello. And apostello is the Greek word for being sent out from a community. And we started to get a school together that taught Justice Water and community development, but also taught church planting, taught contextualization, taught a wide variety of different things to send out people long-term and specifically to the unreached. But the thing that hit us and was really close to our heart was building a staff team that said, we are committed to you guys. While you're on the field, we're going to Skype you once a month. We're going to come visit you once a year. We're going to have an annual conference in a central location where we're just going to come together and encourage one another. And so it's been a blast. We just graduated 25 students. They're going to places like Oman, Turkey, North India, Nepal, Laos. And our Oman team actually left this morning, so it's really, really exciting. And it was fun to work with my mom and dad as well. My mom and dad have come on, and they're training them on how to budget for the field. They're training them on how to support, raise, and budget for the up-and-coming years on the field. So it was a blast working with them. But I also wanted to share with you guys about what's happened in the last 6 months and some exciting new things. Is about 6 months ago, Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, the founders of YWAM, called me into a meeting and said that they have been touring the campuses and for YWAM and sharing their vision on ending Bible poverty. And they were saying that they weren't really finding corporate buy-in. And they asked, maybe could you figure out how to get corporate buy-in from Kona? So I pulled a few leaders together and we started praying, and we realized Lauren, if you guys have read any of his books or have heard him talk, his vision is so big, it's sometimes hard to hear or think about what our role will be in the vision. So we prayed and we said, let's narrow our focus to a location. And we picked 3 districts in Nepal. And our secret weapon was that the leader of YWAM Nepal had just stepped down because the government had asked him to be the chair of the Church of Nepal. And his bigger vision was to get a Bible in every home in Nepal. So he was excited about these three districts that we were adopting. And there was 43,000 homes in these districts. And we got a buy-in from all these school leaders in YWAM that we're going to send teams there every 3 months. And the pastors and the locals were excited to receive them. The only problem that we were having is finances. We were trying to figure out the hard copies are about 70 cents each. And the audio versions are $2 for SD. And last service, someone told me that they wanted me to mention the SD cards that you can play on audio devices but also go into phones. So I've been into these districts that we're going in, 2 of the 3, and almost everyone you run into has a phone. It's wild. You'll be in the middle of nowhere. But you can put this SD chip, this micro SD, in the back of their phone, and it's 4 gigs, and it has the complete audio Nepali Bible, and it has the Jesus film that can play from any phone with a screen, any type of screen. It's the new way of getting the Word of God out. So we're trying to figure out how to do this financially. And I'm proud to say that tomorrow I'm going to meet with Voice of the Martyrs in Bartlesville, and they've agreed to pay for every single Bible and SD card we take into those 3 districts. So it's been amazing to work with those. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Something exciting, too, is Voice of the Martyrs were excited about how we were keeping track of it with our surveys and with accountability. We want to make sure every home in those districts get a Bible. And so they were excited. They said, when you get a chance where we can come and meet you with this man, Diliram, to hear his bigger vision of getting a Bible to every home in Nepal, let us know. So the second week of February, we're flying out. I was just working this morning to get Diliram's ticket to Kona, and we're going to fly out the guy from Voice of the Martyrs, and we're going to sit with Lauren and Darlene, and we're going to see and dream up to reach every home in Nepal with the Word of God, all 7 million of them. So it's really, really exciting. Our prayer was that this would multiply and that Nepal would just actually be the pilot project where other YWAM bases, other ministries would see, and we were praying that it would multiply. So what's exciting is we actually got over 700 different languages through audio Bibles on the Kona campus on a computer now. And any outreaches that are different from Nepal, I mean, anywhere, they could come in, stay their location in the language, and we can copy those SD cards right there on the Kona campus and give them however many. We just sent 300 with a team going to the Syrian refugees as well. So this, actually last week in total, we copied 1,500 audio Bibles and sent them to 12 different locations. And that's excluding this Nepal project. So it's been real, real exciting. One call that I want to make while I'm finishing is I just want to do a simple call. I want to say that if you guys are where I was at 10 years ago, I want you to pray and to consider about coming to do a discipleship training school. And I can share this looking over here to the young adults, but it's for the whole room as well. If you are trying to figure out where your life is going, the call that God has on your life, I want you to pray about coming out to Kona and being poured into for 3 months through this lecture phase and learning about God. And then go and come to Nepal, go on outreach and hand out Bibles. I was just sharing last service how powerful it was to just get rocked by the love of God and then going out and seeing a hill that has a house on the top of it in Nepal and saying, that family is worth it to go and to give them a Bible and to share the love of God. And it was really, really powerful. I just want to ask that you guys would consider that. I'm going to be out in the lobby after this service, and I'd love to talk to anyone who's willing or has any questions. And also, if you have any questions about this Nepal project or the school, Apostello. But yeah, I'm just going to pray in closing. But Lord, thank you so much for Christian Chapel. Thank you so much just that they've believed in me, Father. And Lord, I just ask right now for anybody that's sitting here that was where I was at 10 years ago, God, and just wondering where their life is going or just wanting more, maybe bored with life, God, I just pray right now that they just put a stake in the ground for 2016. I just pray right now that being the first Sunday of the year, God, that they just say, today is a day that I'm going to decide to wholeheartedly chase after God. And Lord, we just ask right now that if anyone is considering or feeling like they should come and do a discipleship training school, Father, I just pray that you just open the doors and make this happen, God. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And God, I just pray that you use us to change communities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Knowing his story and seeing that journey he went on of growing up in church, being far from God, coming back to a relationship with Christ, I know that is it's encouraging for many of us who are like, for Angie, we've got family and friends that we're praying for every day that will one day be their story. And I know many of you are as well. And so before we receive an offering to help them with what they're doing, Dex, if you don't mind just standing here with me, kind of as a representative of what Angie and I hope for our family, of what moms and dads here are praying for their kids, for their sons-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, of what we're praying for coworkers or for what we're praying for parents. But just kind of be our stake in the ground of this is our hope for this year, that God brings personal transformation to people we care about. Is that right? God, we thank you that you are a loving Father. Lord, we thank you that you know us, that you created us, that you are calling us to yourself. Lord, we know personally that the power of your transformation, we know the joy that comes from just following Jesus and surrendering to him. And God, we also see our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers who don't know you, who are living far from you, whose lives are hurting because of their lack of surrender to you. So Lord, we pray for experiences like Dax for them this year. We pray, Lord, that you would surround them with people who know you and love you and follow you. We pray for people to come alongside of them who will be able to, by the power of your Spirit, say it in just the right way, at just the right time, that it finally clicks. We pray, Lord, that if it takes leading them to the other side of the world, into deep, dark valleys, the trials of season or seasons of struggle, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be accomplished in their life this year. Lord, we lay those before you, knowing that they're yours before they're ours. And so, Lord, we just surrender to you, and we ask that you would work in whatever way you choose to reveal yourself to them, to bring that powerful and personal transformation. We thank you for what you've done in Dax's life, Lord, and we just pray that story will be replicated just hundreds of times over this year. Pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We support Dax and Rachel on a monthly basis through our Faith Promise Giving, along with the many other missionaries we support. But this month, as we're having people come and check in and tell us parts of their stories, we want to be able to bless them, to give to them. So today's offering is going to go to Dax and Rachel just to help them with some of their extra expenses in 2016 with some new travel and ministry opportunities that they have. So you can give. The ushers have giving envelopes that you can give. You can also give online at christianchapel.com. Just select the other box, and that will go to Dax and Rachel today. But thank you for giving with us. And as we give, Lauren and the band will lead us in a final song. Then I'll come back, and we'll pray together.
Thank you for listening. If content from this podcast was meaningful to you, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us at christianchapel.com.